Okay, we'll start at the bottom of Yudchet Amud Bet, which is quickly chaz over the position of Amar Avad Amar Bitzvak. Bikurim me'metai mechayavim aleihem. From what point in time are you chayav on bikurim? Now Rashi says, what does it mean, chayavim aleihem? That means that a zar, hochlam, is chayav mita, because they become kadosh. Kadosh in the sense that now they belong to the Kohanim, they were given to Hashem, they belong to the Kohanim. And a zar eats them as an outsider, and therefore he's chayav mita b'dei shemayim, like he would be for Truma. So what is that point in time? What's the threshold on which that is determined by? Tosfos also mentions not just that it's Azar can't eat them, but the other side is that the Kohen would get Malkot for eating them outside of Chumat Yerushalayim. I mean, when do they have a Kedusha that a Kohen himself must eat it inside of Yerushalayim? And the answer is Mishiru Pnei Habayit. At the point in time that they see the Migdash. And really, it seems to be, it's either whether Eshiru Pnei Chuma or Pnei Habayit, the Girsaot seem to change here in the Gemara a little bit. Come on, who's this like? Haitano. So this Tana, Tanya Rabbi Lezo Mer Bikurim, Miksatan Bechutz, Miksatan Bifnim. So we have Bikurim that are being brought in the Mikdash. Some that are inside, some on the outside. Shebechutz Harehen Kechulin, anything outside is Kitzele Chulin. Chod Ibrahim. Shebifnim, Marin Hegdesh to Chod Ibrahim. And anything that's inside, is Gered Hegdesh. So you see that the idea that there's some sort of threshold upon which the Bikurim then are, changed, or they reach the point in time where they become Kadosh. So when is that point in time? So that's by the Choma. The Choma is the determining factor about which time they get their Tofes Bikdusha, or their not Tofes Bikdusha. And that supports this position of Rav Adam Rabbi Yitzchak that Bikurim Mimetai Mechamel Em Mishu'u B'nei Abayit. I'm Rav Sheshet. Bikurim Hanacham Yakevet Behem, Kriya Ein Yakevet Behem. This is a position that we're familiar with. We had it also Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Oshaya yesterday, or according to the way that Rabbi Yaakov was matnei, that was Amar Abasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that the position that when it comes to Bikurim, the Hanacha is Ma'akevet, putting them in Yichol Eitel HaMizbeach, by putting them down by the Mizbeach is Ma'akev, but Kriya Ein Ma'akevet Behem. Reading the Bikurim, or that the Mikra Bikurim, or Arame Ovei David, the Parshat of Bikurim, that is not Ma'akev. Come on, who's that like? Ki Haitano. Like this Tana, the Tani Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shlosha Dorim, Mishum Shlosha Zekinim. Yossi says there were three things from three different Zekinim. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yacho Yale Adam Ma'aser Sheni, Bizman Azeb Yerushalayim. You would think a person today would have to take his Ma'aser Sheni up to Yerushalayim, Yochlana, and eat it. Vedinhu. Bechor ta'on havat makom, or ma'aser sheni ta'on havat makom. A bechor that is a tam needs to be brought up to the Mikdash in Yerushalayim, and so does ma'aser sheni have to be brought up to Yerushalayim. So therefore, we can compare the two of them. So ma bechor inu elu bifnei abayit, just like a bechor is only brought when there is a Mikdash, so to have ma'aser sheni will only be eaten inu elu bifnei abayit when the Mikdash is extant. So that the Gemara is assuming over here, and the Gemara will ask or challenge this assumption in a little bit, but that it's sure that when it comes to Bechor and there's no Beit HaMikdash, then you don't bring the Bechor. Whereas by Ma'aser Sheni, we're unsure, and we say, okay, let's compare it to Bechor. Bechor has to be brought up to Yerushalayim, Ma'aser Sheni to Yerushalayim. Bechor is not done unless there's a Mikdash. Ma'aser Sheni should also not be done unless there is a Mikdash. The Gemara says, wait, you can have a Pircha. Why are you going to learn from Bechor? Ma'ala Bechor Shkein Tom Matan Damim Yemorim Legavi Mizbeach. A Bechor is unique in the sense that it really needs the Mikdash. It needs the Mikdash because you can't eat the Bechor unless you put its dam on the Mizbeach and the Emorim on the Mizbeach. So it's dependent on the Mizbeach in order to be eaten. Therefore, of course you can't eat it when there's no Beit HaMikdash because you can't put the dam and the Emorim on the Mizbeach. So when it says, all right, let's try to learn it out from Bikurim. Bikurim Yochichu. Let's learn from Imala Bikurim Shkein Tuni Manacha. Right, so you want to learn it out from Bikurim. Just like Bikurim are supposed to be brought up to Yerushalayim and eaten inside of Yerushalayim, yet when there is no Beit HaMikdash, we don't do that. We don't bring up Bikurim. We don't eat Bikurim in Yerushalayim. Then so too Ma'aser Sheni. Ma'aser Sheni, which is brought up to Yerushalayim normally when the Mikdash is there, when there is no Mikdash, will not be brought up to Yerushalayim, that you can't eat Ma'aser Sheni inside of Yerushalayim if there is no Mikdash or the Kedusha of the Yerushalayim is not extant at that point in time. So Gemara says, well, how can you learn out Bikurim? Bikurim also need to be brought up to the Mizbeach. They have to be placed next to the Mizbeach in order to be mutar ba'achila, mutarim ba'achila. So therefore, it's clear that they need the Mikdash. Since they need the Mikdash, then it's obvious that they can't be done when there is no Mikdash. But Maisu Sheni, that doesn't need Mikdash, just needs Yerushalayim, maybe that should be permissible to eat even after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So now the Baraita concludes, Tamal Omar, V'achalta Sham Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Makish Maser Lebechor. It's over here. We have a pasuk that's brought. The pasuk should be familiar. It's from the parsha of Aser Taser. Aser Taser called Vazarecha Yotzei Asadesh Shana Shana. Here it's talking about bringing it up to Yerushalayim, which is the Maisa Sheni. And over there at the end of the parsha, it says, after you redeem it with money, then you can purchase items in Yerushalayim. Chalta Shem Lifnei Hashem Lokecha. So that's where the pasuk of Chalta Shem Lifnei Hashem Lokecha comes from. That's probably not what the Gemara is quoting. And that's why the Shem here is in brackets. And that's because earlier on in the paragraph, right after the pasuk of Aser Taser, the next pasuk is V'achalta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. You should eat it Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Ba'makom Asher Yivchal Shakim Shmo Sham Masar Degan Chalat Rosh Chavitz Recha Uvechorot Bechacha Betzonecha. So there, the pasuk says you should eat before Hashem Maser. Here then, Maaser Sheni and Bechorot. So in the pasuk, there's a hekesh or a juxtaposition of Maaser Sheni and Bechorot, and that's what the hekesh is over here. Mekish Maser LeBechor, and that's probably the pasuk that the Gemara is referring to as Avachat LeFnei Hashem Elokecha, that mentions in that pasuk both Bechor and Maaser Sheni, and therefore, just like Bechor, we don't eat if there's no Mikdash. So too, Maaser Sheni, we don't eat unless there is a Beit HaMikdash. Ma Bechor Eino Lifnei Abayit, just like Bechor does not imply unless there is a Mikdash, Av Maaser Eino Elo Lifnei Abayit. Right, but, and also Maaser doesn't exist unless there is a Beit HaMikdash. Vimito, and if the case is, like, we had a statement from Sheshet, that on Achaz Me'akevet, Kriya Eino Me'akevet, so we proved it from this Braita. How do we prove it from this Braita? Because Vimito, if there's a requirement for kriya by bikurim, then you should say lifruch. Mala bikurim shkein tuinim kriya ve'anacha. Right? So then, why isn't that the pircha? So Mar says,
Amar Rabba, if
it doesn't have it, means it's not ma'akev. So the only thing that is ma'akev is the hanacha. And that's what the Gemara says, that mala bikurim shkein tuinim hanacha. So in the Amar Ravashi, Nehi, Diyukuva, Leka, Mitzvah, Mileka. Sure, there's no ikuv, but there still is a mitzvah. I mean, that your logic doesn't work either. Because what did Rav Sheshet suggested that there's anachaz me'akev, but kriya is not me'akevet. But isn't there still a mitzvah to do kriya? And if there is a mitzvah to do kriya, that's also a pircha. That's also a reason to say that bikurim is different than ma'aser sheni. So it should have written kriya and anacha anyway, not because kriya is me'akevet, but simply because kriya is it's a mitzvah. So Amar Rashi, Nehi, Dukuva, Leka, Mitzvah, Leka, Velema, Mitzvah. So the Lifroch, let it say that it's a mitzvah and just ask the question from that. So Alamar Rav Ashi, Kevon, Dika, Bikure, Ger, Debai, the Meimar, Shen, Ishba, Hashem, Lavatein, Velo, Matzi, Omar. There are certain Bikurim where you cannot say the Parsha of, or Mikra, Bikurim, or Amarami, Ovedovi. So, and that is the Bikurim of a Ger, Lopsikale. Therefore, it's not definitive, and you can't, right, you can't learn it out from that item. So now, what we have so far is, let's just, Chazer, Rishesh makes a statement that we have, Bikurim, Hanachaz Me'akevet, Kriya is Lo Me'akevet. And then we say, okay, we have like a Braisa that supports that position. How do we have a Braisa? We have a Braisa that wants to know, how do I know that Maaser Sheni today is not brought up to Yerushalayim? Maaser Sheni, which is, means that the Kedushat HaAretz is still extant. If that's the case, then there are Trumos and Maaserot, Min HaTorah. How do I know that I don't have to take that Maaser Sheni up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim? How do I know that? So the Braisa says, first of all, I'll learn it out from Bechor. So I'll learn it out from Bechor, because just like Bechor, there is no Bechor Bizman Hazeh, so too, there is no Maaser Sheni Bizman Hazeh. The Gemara says, well, how can you do that? You can't prove anything from Bechor, because Bechor itself is Ta'un, right? Matanat Dam and Emurim on the Mizbeach. Maybe the reason you can't do a Bechor Bizman Hazeh is because you can't put it on the Mizbeach. Whereas Maaser Sheni, that doesn't require Mizbeach, maybe take it up. The Gemara says, okay, let's leave Bechor. What about Bikurim? Bikurim, we know, you don't have to bring today. We don't bring Bikurim up to the Mikdash today. So too, Maaser Sheni should not be brought up to the Mikdash today. Mar says, how could you prove anything from Bikurim? Bikurim also require Vihenafto or Anacha Lifnei HaMizbeach. So maybe the reason Bikurim are no good is because you have to put them by the Mizbeach. Whereas Maizu Sheni, that doesn't require Mizbeach, maybe you can bring Maizu Sheni and eat up in Yerushalayim. The Bryce's conclusion is Talmud Omar, right, V'achalta Sham Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. That you have to eat it before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And then, Mekish Maser LeBechor. There's a hekesh between Maser and Bechor. Ma Bechor in Lifnei HaBayit, Af Maser in Lifnei HaBayit. Just like Bechor is only done by the time of the Mikdash, so too Maser is only Lifnei HaBayit. The Gemara will get to this in a second, explain to us what this means. So now the proof from this Braita to Rav Sheshes is the fact that the Gemara, when it tried to bring a proof from Bikurim to Maaser Sheni, it says, why is Bikurim not a proof? Because Bikurim has Hanacha that Maaser Sheni doesn't have. Wait a minute, but if Bikurim has more than just Hanacha, Bikurim has Hanacha and Kriya that Maaser Sheni, because how did it come that Braisa only mentions Hanacha and not Kriya? Must be like Rav Sheshes, that Hanacha is Ma'akevet, Kriya ain't a Ma'akevet. But then we challenge it, Rav Ashi says, wait a minute, even if you're right, Rav Sheshet, it might be that Kriya is not Ma'akevet, but you are supposed to do Kriya. So the Braita could have still asked, well, how can you learn now from Bikurim to Maaser Sheni? Bikurim require Hanacha and Kriya. True, Kriya is not Ma'akevet, but it still requires. You should be doing Kriya. So why isn't the Braita should mention, even according to you, Rav Sheshet, that Kriya is not Ma'akevet, the Braita should have still used it as a proof against the fact that you can learn to Maaser Sheni. So he says, even Rav Ashi says, okay, you are right. True, it should have mentioned it, but because it's not psikale milsa, since it's not definitive that you always read, why? Because there are cases where you don't read mikra bikurim. One of those cases, where you bring them up in the proper time, you bring them up between Shavuot and Sukkot, nevertheless, you will not say mikra bikurim, which is the bikurim of a ger. Bikurim of a ger cannot, you don't do kriya on them because it says in the parasha, Shenishba Hashem Laboteinu Latet Lanu, that Hashem promised to us to give us the land of Eretz Yisrael. Well, he can't say that because his Laboteinu were not the ones that were promised to. Right, so there, right, the Gemara in Baba Batra, which you're quoting is where actually the main sugya is the Gemara in Baba Batra and Pei Aleph discusses if somebody needs to actually own the land in order to bring the Bikurim, or how much land do they have to own in order to bring the Bikurim. Right, there is a machloka, it happens to be by Ger itself, it's a major machloka to Rishonim. I'll send you the Mikorot again, we did it in the Gemara in Baba Batra, Pei Aleph and Aleph. It's pretty clear from this Gemara and from the Mishnah in Bikurim, which are explicit, both say that a Ger does not say Labuteinu. That he doesn't say, and the same thing by Tefillah, he doesn't say, Elukei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. So that it's like one of these black and white sugyot, where there's no question about it. The problem is that there's Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi has an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that a ger can say Avoteinu, and based on that, the Rambam and many other Rishonim end up paskening like this Yerushalmi against the Bavli, and therefore we have a whole series of opinions that believe that a ger does say Avoteinu, and a ger can say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. If you remember when we did the Gemara in Bava Batra, there's a very famous Tshuvas HaRambam to Avadja Ager, and over there Avadja Ager asked him whether he can say all of these items. Can he make the brachos of Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvotav? Can he say the brachos of Asher Bachar Banu? Can he say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? Can he say Elokei Avoteinu? All of these items. And the Rambam, as the time I described to you, almost like a Hasidic Rebbe, says that we are banim to the Avot, but you, the Ger, you are a ben of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And you are, when you came under Itachad Kanfei Ashkenah, you are, Avram is the Av of all Gerim for all time. And the Rambam, it's unbelievable, you know, Lashon and, what he writes to Avadja Ger, it's unbelievable. But over there he says basically that you can, and he paskens the Mishnah Torah this way, that the Ger can say all of these items. He spells out his logic, but, and also Mishnah Torah. But basically it's premised on this Yerushalmi that has Rabbi Yehuda. So I'll send you out the Mekorot again, but just wanted to remind you about it. Now the Gemara says, okay, I want to understand this Braisa. So the Gemara says, V'teite b'me'atzad. Why do you just think you can't learn it out? You say, I try to learn from Bechor, no limud. Try to learn it out from Bikurim, no limud. Why do I say I learn it out from both Bikurim and Bechor? Right, Mishum de Ikal Mifrach, right, because there is a Pircha. Malat Tzadah Shavah Shebehen. What's the common denominator? David, this was you asked. Common denominator, Mishkan Yesh Behen, Tzad Mizbeach. They both require a tzad mizbeach. They both require, right, it is pretty obvious that they both require the mizbeach. Since they both require mizbeach, Maaseh Sheni does not require mizbeach, therefore we could not learn it out from a tzad shaveh shibahen, and that's why we need to learn it out of maaser, of achalta shem lifnei Hashem Elokecha, and then there's the hekesh between maaser lebechor. Now the Gemara wants to know, why is it so pashut to the Gemara that a bechor does not, or is not done today? And Maaseh Sheni, I have a question about. I mean, that why is it that the Gemara has a question about Maaseh Sheni and about Bechor has no question?
That's exactly the reason, because
okay, so that's what the Gemara asks. Is that so true? Are you so certain that just because it requires Mizbech, it can't be done today? Why? So Gemara says, let's ask, Micah Sabar. Ika Savar, now here there is a Machloket Rashi in the Tosafot. I'll read this Gemara. We'll read according to Rashi first, and then we will, right, afterwards we'll read like Tosafot, which is Micah Savar. Ika Savar, Kiddusha Rishona, Kiddusha L'Shaita, V'Kiddusha L'Atid Lavo. The first Kiddusha in the time of, Rashi says we're talking about the Bayit here, in the time of Shlomo Melech, once, right, a person, but once the Yerushalayim was established as the city of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was Nifchar as the city of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kedusha that resides in that city is permanent and never leaves. So once Shlomo put the Midrash there, that's Kedusha Rishikitchen, Kedusha Rishon, the Tshaita, Vila Atid Lavo. And, as Rashi points out, then we also, this person, or this Tana, has to believe that Kedusha Ta'aretz is Kedusha Rishon, and Kedusha Atid Lavo, because otherwise why are you bringing in Maaseh Sheni? And the only reason you could be bringing a chayav in Maaseh Sheni is because you believe that Kedusha Ta'aretz, right, is still extant. Otherwise, there's no reason to bring up Maaseh Sheni. So he says, Rashi says, just like he holds by Kedusha Ta'aretz that it's Kedusha L'Shaita V'Kedusha L'Devo, so too by the Beit HaMikdash he believes that. That if that's the case, Avchilu B'chor Nami. Why? Because even because the one who holds that Kiddusha L'Shaita V'Kiddusha L'Atid Lavo believes that you can bring Korbanot even though there's no Mikdash. So you ask me a question, what do you mean Bechor? It's obvious Bechor can't be brought, there's no Mizbeach. Well, maybe you don't need that. If you have Kiddusha L'Kiddusha L'Shaita V'Kiddusha L'Atid Lavo, either you can put up a Mizbeach, or even without a Mizbeach, you can bring the Bechor up. Maybe there is a requirement of Bechor because of the Kiddusha Rishona still here, it's still permanent, and you can bring Karbanot, even though there is no Mikdash. So that's the case. Why is it so obvious to the Breita that Bechor, no, today no Bechor, Maaser, we have a question. I mean, if you're consistent in the opinion, there should be a question about Bechor, just as much as a question about Maaseh Sheni. So what are you going to suggest? So the Gemara says, Ika Savar, this is Rashi's Gisa, Kedusha Rishona Kiddusha L'Shaita V'lo Kiddusha L'Atid Lavo. So if you want to say that the Kedusha Rishona did not exist or does not persist after the destruction of the Mikdash, then we also, Rashi says, Afilu Bechor L'Nami Taboi. We also have a question from Bechor. What do you mean we have a question from Bechor? If there's no Kedusha Rishona, then why is there any question by Bechor anymore? Right? If no Kedusha Rishona, then there's no Mikdash. There's nothing to do with the Bechor. So Rashi says you got the case wrong. That's the problem here. So if we hold that Kedusha Tabayit is Betela, nevertheless, what is the case by Bechor? We've been thinking until now the case of the Bechor is that you want to bring, you have a Bechor, you want to bring it up to Yerushalayim to be Makriv al Mizbeach. And therefore, what's there to talk about? There's no Bayit there. Rashi says, but then what's the comparison at all? What was the Brisa's Havamina? That case is nothing like what Maaseh Sheni, like you were saying, or you were suggesting before, Shaul. It's so obvious. Why is it you have to bring it on Mizbeach? Of course you can't bring it. Maaseh Sheni has nothing to do with the Mizbeach. So he answers, well, I'll tell you the case of Bechor here. You know what the case of Bechor? It was before the Chorban Abayit, he did the Matan Tan and the Murim. It was already brought on Mizbeach before the Chorban. Then you have a Chorban Abayit, and the basar of the Bechor remains to be eaten. What's the din of the basar of Bechor? It's eaten the Kohanim betoch Yerushalayim. So now what's the din? Now I have a din that's exactly like Maaseh Sheni. So if I think that Kedusha Rishona is low Kiddusha according to Rashi, the Mikdash is destroyed. So now I have the Mikdash destroyed. I have Matan Damim and Imurim were done before the Mikdash was destroyed. I have a Shaila about Bechor. So Gemara is asking, Bechor... That's theoretical. That's obviously theoretical. No, but the question, in that situation, there would be a question. And since that's the case, we make it just like Maaser Sheni, in that theoretical case, we want to know what's the Din of Bechor. If we have that Din of Bechor, now we'll know what the Din of Maaser Sheni is, because they have both the same requirement now. They both must be eaten inside of Yerushalayim. More practical cases like this with Nizirim, that had taken Ned the Nizirut before the Korban, and then there was Korban Abayit. That's over a period of time. I agree. But here, obviously it's a very theoretical case, but it's important because the din in this case will tell us what the din is Maaser Sheni. But the Gemara says, if I have this theoretical case, I still have a question about Bechor. I don't know what the din is. Do you know what the din is? If I did Matan Tamim and Erumim, now I have to eat it with the in Yerushalayim by the Mikdash. What's the din? If the Mikdash is gone, what's the din? I don't know. So now, if that's the case, I don't know. Why is it so obvious to the price that I know what the din is by Bechor? So Amar Ravina, the Olam Kasavar, no, this is what he holds. Kedisha, the Shaita, Lo Kitcha, Latid Vavo. The conclusion, according to Rashi, is that Lo Kitcha, Latid Vavo, that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is not permanent, right? It was destroyed or is gone with the destruction of the Mikdash. Vahocha, the Bechor, Shnizrak, Damo, Kodim, Chorban, Abayit, Becharab, Abayit, Vedayim, Besero, Kayam. All right. Good. All right, we know now. So we have the case that Rashi lays out. Now from here, it sounds like that was not the case before, which is part of, you know, Tosus's issue. But Rashi seems to say that the Gemara knew this. This was the case already. This is not the Chiddush of Ravina. The Chiddush of Ravina is this next line, which is, okay, if the Emurim and the Dam were done before the Korban, and after the Korban, I'm asking you about eating the Basar, what's the din? We don't know the din. So now we have what the din is. Umakshinon b'saro lidamo. I have a hekesh between the basar of the bechor to the dam of the bechor. Ma damo b'mizbeach. Just like the dam of the bechor must reach the mizbeach. Af b'saro b'mizbeach. And so to there, then the basar can only be eaten when there is a mizbeach. What do you mean that there's only a mizbeach? That means that the Mikdash is still around, or Yerushalayim is still Kadosh. It's the Pasuk, because it says,
Ach b'chor shor, o b'chor kesev, o b'chor eiz, lo tifteh kodesh heim, et damam tizrok al mizbeach, you have to put their dam on the mizbeach, et chalbam taktir, and put their chalavim, emurim on the mizbeach, yishay reach nechoch l'ashem. The next Pasuk is, u'besaram yulach, kechazeh atnufah, kushok yamim nechoyeh. Because you see a connection between Damam Tizrok al Mizbech and only afterwards Ubisaram Yuelach. So there's a hekesh here between the Dam going on the Mizbeach and then the Basar being eaten. And that teaches us that just like the Dam obviously requires a Mizbeach, so too the Basar, even though it's not being put on the Mizbeach, still requires a Mizbeach in order to be eaten.
So now I cleared up Bechor. Bechor I know clearly must be eaten when Yerushalayim is Kadosh, when there's a Mikdash there. Mekish Maser the Bechor. So the next line in the Mishnah is that we have a Hekesh between Maser and Bechor. And just like by Bechor, I don't eat it unless there's Kedushat Yerushalayim, so too by Maser Sheni, I know, or you have to eat it, when there's a Mizbeach, when there is Kedushat Yerushalayim. Alright, so that's the basic layout of the sugya. The one's going to ask a question on this. Now, Tosfos disagrees, and he says that's the Girsa of Rashi. But my Girso is actually different. And that's because he has a question on Rashi. So now he suggests a different Girsa. If you look down in the Tosas, it's 2, 4, 5 lines in the widest lines of the Tosas. 5 lines down after Zvachim, right below Zvachim, Samachon Aleph. Says, V'lachein tzarich lomar, the Giris la'el, that the Girsa here is, Isavar lo kidsha meiser nami. So we in our gear, so over here it says Isavar, right? Isavar lo kidsha bechor nami it tibay. Tosus's gear says Meiser nami, right? So what does that mean? That v'achi perusho afilu Meiser nami lo yehem itachil b'Yerushalayim klal b'lo pidjon tovli klal lifnei Hashem elokecha. So the Gemara has two possibilities. One possibility is that kidsha l'shaita v'kidsha l'atid lavo. There's a kedusha that is permanent. In that case, the Gemara says, Bechor nami tibayi. Then why is it so obvious to you that Bechor is not brought up into Yerushalayim? Because if it's Kitcha, the Shaita, the Kitcha, the Tidavo, you can bring a Bechor even though there's no bayit. So why is it so obvious to you Bechor is not brought, and therefore you ask about Maaser Sheni? Bechor nami tibayi. Ah, what's the other side? The other side is that the Mikdash is Kitcha, the Shaita, but low Kitcha, the Tidavo. It's only a temporary Kedusha. When it's destroyed, the Kedusha goes away. So now what are you going to say? You're gonna say, the way Rashi read it is Bechor Nami Tibai. He has the same Girsa again. Bechor should be a question. there is no Mikdash, then there should be a question of Bechor itself. Is Bechor brat? Tosfos says no. If there's no Mikdash, it's obvious that Bechor is not brat to there. What's also obvious? That Maser will not be brat. Why did you have a question about Maaser Sheni? How come you have a question whatsoever about Maaser Sheni if the Mikdash is gone? Why? Because there's a requirement, V'chalta sham lifnei Hashem lokecha. There's a requirement by Maaser Sheni to be eaten lifnei Hashem lokecha. And guess what? If there is no Mikdash, and it's not kitcha l'shaito l'atid davo, that means there's no lifnei Hashem lokecha. Vainly tmoa. So now you come up with what Tosfos calls an absurdity here, which is, ilo kitcha, imkein l'mishkachat Maaser. Right, if there's no Kedusha, if Kedusha is also Betela, then how is he bringing up Maaser Sheni? There's no question of Maaser Sheni. Well, what's Tosfos' answer? There's two difference. Right? The Kedusha of the Aretz Betela. So the Kedusha of the Aretz would be Batel. What's Tosfos' answer going to be? We're talking about two different issues. One is the Kedusha of the Aretz. One is Kedushat Yerushalayim, Kedushat HaMikdash. They are separate. Devadai Kedushat Bayit lo kitcha, aval Kedushat Aretz kitcha lo atid lavo. That the Kedushat HaBayit was not permanent, but the Kedushat Aretz is permanent. Leini Masrot, below Talya Ha Baha. They're not connected. They're not necessarily parallel. You could have a case where Kedushat Aretz is kitcha, and therefore you're chayv in Maaser Sheni, yet Yerushalayim will not be kadosh permanently, and therefore you have nowhere to bring it, because you have the chalkesh lifnei Hashem elokecha. Aval hocha mairi, shein ha-mizbeach klal banoi. But over here we're talking about a case where there is no mizbeach at all. Begaris, and now the girsa is, lolam, kedusha rishona kitcha li atid lavo. So as opposed to Rashi, what's Rashi's Amar Ravina? The Olam Kasavar, Kicha L'Shaita Velo Kicha L'Atid Lavo. Rashi's Girsa is that in Ravina's statement in the end, is that our conclusion is we're talking about a case where there is no Kedushat Yerushalayim. If there is no Kedushat Yerushalayim, and I brought the Korban before the Korban, and now I'm trying to eat it after the Korban, how come I know anything about it? I have the Hekesh between Basar and Dam. Tosfos says no. The conclusion over here is that Kedusha Rishona Kicha Le'atid lavo. Why? Otherwise, there's no question. Because Tosfos' gear says, if there's no Kedushat Yerushalayim, then Maaser is not a question. There's no Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. We don't even have, you don't have a question by Bechor, you don't even have a question by Maaser. So it must be, the conclusion of the Gemara is that it was Kicha Le'atid lavo. Now, if that's the case, so it must be, according to Tosfos, there's only one possibility of a question here in Maaser. That's when Kedusha Rishona Kicha Le'Shaita U'Le'atid lavo. Now, once I have that, what's the question? Let's understand, why is Bechor so obvious? So he says, the time of the Chor, la mishum kedushat aretz, ala mishum deitkash besarol adamo. That's because Bechor has nothing to do with kedushat aretz or kedushat Yerushalayim. It's because you have to have the dam and the basar. Din hashem mizbeach kayam b'shat achilat besaro. You need a mizbeach. There's a special din by Bechor that you must have a mizbeach in order to eat it. Hilkach, kokamad yalfinam Bechor, lo mitachel, maesunami lo mitachel, below pidyon. The Tosfos and Rashi read the Gemara is almost exact opposite. Rashi's conclusion is, ba'olam kasavar, that the Kedusha is betela. Kedusha is betela, and why is it, if Kedusha is betela, then why do we have a question about Bechor? We have a question about Bechor because it's this unique case of Bechor where you did the Zrikat Dam and the Emurim before, and now I'm eating it in Yerushalayim, I want to know if I can eat it. But there's no Kedusha anymore. Right, if there's no Kedusha anymore, how do I know by Bechor that it's so obvious even there's no Kedusha that I can't eat it anymore? The answer is because I have a Hekesh between Basar and Dam. And just like the Dam requires a Mizbech, so too the Basar requires a Mizbech. That's a Shitat Rashi. Tosfos says, no! The question when we say there's no Kedusha at all in Yerushalayim means that Maaser is also not a question in that case, because you require Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So that means that the Ravina's conclusion here in the Gemara is going to be, Kicha L'Shaita V'Kicha L'Atid Lavo. We have to be talking about a case where the Kedusha is permanent. If the Kedusha is permanent, then why is Bechor a question? If the Kedusha is permanent, then I can bring a Bechor even on the Mizbech. I can do Matan Dane Merim even when there is no Mikdash there. So why is there Shaila by Bechor? Well, the Shaila Bechor is because Bechor has nothing to do with Kedusha Taaretz and Kedusha Yerushalayim. Why? Because Bechor has a din of Basar and Dam that require Mizbeach. That the Chilat Basar of Bechor requires a Mizbeach. And therefore, we know by Bechor. We know the din by Bechor requires a Mizbeach. When there's no Mizbeach, it doesn't work. Doesn't matter if the Kedusha Rishona is yes or no. It's irrelevant because The Mizbeach is a requirement, not Kedushat Mikdash, Kedushat Yerushalayim, Kedushat Aretz, those are all relevant. Ah, now I have a question by Maaser. Maaser is Hukash Lebechor. And since Maaser is Hukash Lebechor, now I know by Maaser you also can't eat it in Yerushalayim, even though the Kedushat of Yerushalayim is permanent. Right, so you understand the two difference between them. Now, what comes out is a very interesting shita. Shita Rashi, who seems to connect the two and say that Kedushat Aretz and Kedushat Mikdash runs to parallel. If you have Kedushat Rishona of the Aretz goes on, you also believe in Kedushat Mikdash. Now, Rashi doesn't say explicitly. It seems to be from what he's saying. I say it's not Mukhrach in Rashi, but Rashi seems to indicate there's a parallel in the opinion here. If you believe that Kedushat Rishona is Kedushah because of, otherwise there's no question by Maaser, you also believe that the Kedushah of Mikdash is also permanent. Now, Rashi does have the other tzad, which is that the Kedushah together. I don't think it's Mukhrach in Rashi. But so you come out, let's leave it, there might be an opinion like this, that they too are connected. You have Tosfos, who has the opinion that there is no connection between Kedushat Aretz and Kedushat HaMikdash. But the fact that there is no connection between them means that there is Kedushat Aretz, but no Kedushat HaMikdash. Right now, we have a third opinion, which is the very famous Rambam. The Rambam believes that the other way around. Right? The Rambam believes that you could have a Kedushat HaMikdash, that is always, but no Kedushat Aretz. And that's the famous the Rambam says over here, that when it comes to Ezra coming up in Magdish Mezesh, Asa Ezra Shtedotot, when Ezra comes up to Yerushalayim to be Mekadesh Yerushalayim, he doesn't have to do it. Why? Because it's already Kadosh, Gemur, and he doesn't have to do anything. And that was just a ceremony. Why? Shlomo made the Mikdash, that's Shehu, Kidesh Hazra Yerushalayim Shatan, Bekitchen Latidavo. Permanent Kedushah cannot be taken away. Lefikach, what would be the Kedushah? Makrivim, makarbonot, kulan, apopishen, bayit, banoi. Right, the Shita the Rambam, where you can bring carbonot, even though there's no Shat Yerushalayim. Shirabi Shana, Kichad, Shaita, Kichad, Tivo. And the Rambam says on himself, Vilama ani omer, b'mikdash Yerushalayim, Kedusha Rishona, Kichalati Labo. And why do I say by Yerushalayim that the Kedusha of the first Kedusha is permanent? Uva Kedusha, Sharetz Israel, Inyan Shvi, to Masro, to Piyotzvan, Lo Kichalati Labo. And when it comes to Kedusha Arts, they say no. The fish, Kedusha, the Mikdash, Yerushalayim, Bipnea, Shechina. Because the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash comes from the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Shechina, Eina, Betela. You can't get rid of the Shechina. Shechina never leaves. Aval chiyuv haaretz v'shvit u'masrot enu el pnei shehu kibush rabim. Why is there Kedusha at Eretz Yisrael? Because Yeshua came and conquered the land. V'kem et shenu kacha haaretz miyadim batal kibush. If this you conquered it and made it kadosh, someone else can conquer you and make it non-kadosh, right? They can undo the Kedusha. V'kevan shalah Ezra v'kidsha. So when Ezra came up and returned and made it kadosh, lo kidsha v'kidush. He didn't conquer it. Ela bechazaka cheshech ezikuba. They took possession of it. Fika kol makom shechizikuba olei bavel v'nikadesh b'kedushat Ezra. Any place that the olei bavel came and made it kadosh, that is kshusha shniyahu mikudosh hayom. It's still kadosh till today. Even though the land was taken away from us again. Why? Because even though it's taken away from us, that Kedusha is permanent because it's not dependent on kibush, on conquering, rather on chazakah. And since it's dependent on chazakah, therefore it's not permanent. So now the Kesef Mishnah and others all ask on the Rambam. It makes no sense. It should be just the opposite. Kibush should be something that lasts forever, because Hashem commanded us to be Kovesh Ta'aretz and Shalayim Vera. Chazakah, you just show up there and live there. All of a sudden that becomes Kedusha that's permanent. Seems almost counterintuitive. It should be a Chazakah. If you're not there anymore, it's gone. Kibush is what established Bnei Yisrael's connection to Eretz Yisrael. That should be something that is permanent. How come the Rambam says Kedusha of Ezra is permanent? Kedusha of Yeshua is not permanent. So he said, where did this come from? So the Rav Soloveitchik in Ala Tshuva, actually in the Ma'amar, Kapara Yisurim Begula, discusses this Rambam and tries to understand or explains this idea of why is the Rambam differentiate between Kedushat Aretz. It says, Rambam mechalek ben Kedushat Mikdash, Kedusha Rishona kayemet bo gam latid lavo, levin Kedushat Aretz, Kedusha Rishona betela, v'ra Kedusha Shniyah kayemet latid lavo. Kedusha Mikdash, from the time of Shlomo, it's Kedusha forever. By the Aretz, only from Ezra is it Kadosh forever, but from the time of Yeshua, it does not work. He says, why? Because he brings down that the Kedusha Mikdash, Yerushalayim, emanates from Shechina, but the Chiyuv Aretz emanates from the Kibush, and the Kibush is eliminated. But he asks,
right.
You need 2 things. You need, first of all, you have to have a Malkom Shei B'chai Shem Lokecha, and how do I know? That's only once the Shekhinah comes in and Shoreh in the Mikdash, that's how I know it's a Malkom Shei B'chai Shem Lokecha. Then all the dinim come into effect, which is you can't have a Bamot anymore, you can't do things outside of Yerushalayim. That's one. And number two is that the Shekhinah is Shoreh in other places. We know that. The Shekhinah was in Shiloh. Yeah, the Shekhinah is not just present. You need the Shriyat HaShekhinah, which only happens once Shlomo puts the Mikdash up. So then the Rav asks, Aval madua lo titbadel kedushat Ezra? Why doesn't Ezra's kedusha go? Bimpnei she'Ezra lo kitsha bikibush shel b'chazaka. Okay. What's the difference? And he says, ma'avdel ben kibush Yeshua l'chazaka shel Ezra. Right? So he answers, the Rav answers over here, that he thinks that the kedusha of the Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the answer that we gave of the difference between Kedushat Eretz and Kedushat Yerushalayim is also the same answer of the difference between what Ezra does and what Yoshua does. And that is, Eich anek kadsha Eretz b'mei Ezra. How did the Eretz become Kadosh for the time of Ezra? They didn't do a kibush. There's no tzivui from Hashem to come in and take the land. So what makes it Kadosh? B'chazakah. Just because you sit in the land and you live there, that doesn't make it kadosh. Binyan amigdash, binyan beit abichirahu shekideish in Eretz Yisrael. What made the Eretz Yisrael kadosh in the time of Ezra was the binyan of the migdash and the establishment of Yerushalayim as the ira kadosh. Hakdushalo hacha pam min ahekif. The by Yeshua and by Yerushalayim, by Ezra, there's a difference. Yeshua first conquers the land of Eretz Yisrael, and then only later on is the Kedusha of the Shekhinah come into the Mikdash. Whereas by Ezra, what do they do first? They come up to Eretz Yisrael and they build the Mikdash. They first have the Shekhinah, which is always present there, and then only after that do they go and settle outside of Yerushalayim and the areas around. So the settlement of Eretz Yisrael, according to this, is a settlement premised on the Shekhinah of the Mikdash. That's the chazakah that establishes it. That chazakah ain't a betela. That's something that doesn't go away. Right. So, that's it. That's really, that depends which the order. If the Mikdash is built first, then the rights to Eretz Yisrael emanate from the Mikdash because of chazakah, and therefore it has the status of kedusha latid lavo, meaning it has a permanent kedusha like the Mikdash.
You can take away the status of Eretz Yisrael and still not have lost the status of the Mikdash.
But that's in the first time. The first time around, you could take away Eretz Yisrael and not lose the Mikdash, because Eretz Yisrael did not acquire its Kedusha like the Mikdash. Mikdash got it from the Shekhinah. Eretz Yisrael got it from Kibush Rabim of Yoshua. Kibush can be undone by another Kibush. The Shekhinah is the Inna B'Tela. But by Ezra, where the establishment of Kedusha Eretz comes from the Chazakah, comes from the Shekhinah, just like the Shekhinah is Inna B'Tela by the Mikdash, it's Inna B'Tela by the Kedusha Eretz.
Kedusha
Eretz.
Second
time is permanent. It's
dependent on the
Yerushalayim, and therefore it's permanent. That's the Rambam's opinion. And then over there, the Raivud is Mesig on the Rambam. And he says, I don't know where he got this from. He says, Lo chalak ve mikdash Yerushalayim, the Sharetz Yisrael, v'lo od, sh'ani omer, sh'afil le Rebbe Yossi, damar kedusha shina kedusha le'atid lavo. Even regard Rebbe Yossi holds that the kedusha shina is permanent. Lo amar le Sharetz Yisrael. That's for the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Av Yerushalayim le mikdash lo amar. Never. L'fi sh'ayu de Ezra, sh'mikdash Yerushalayim atidim lishtanot. U'l'kadesh kedusha acher ulmei olami. That there'll be a third base of mikdash. Ezra knew that. Therefore he only made the kedusha of Yerushalayim temporary. And now in the atid lavo, when we come back, we'll make it again. You can walk onto Harabait, no problem. There's nothing at all. You can walk on Harabait and everything's fine because there's no Kedusha. So Raivad has the exact opposite opinion, that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is gone. It's always gone. Even if you say in time, if Ezra, it's temporary. Time of Shlomo Melech, it's all temporary Kedusha of Yerushalayim, because we're going to have a billion of Bait Shlishi, and that'll bring a new Kedusha that'll be permanent. But until then, there's no permanence of Kedushat Yerushalayim. Kedushat Haaretz, that's a machlokas tanaim, whether that is permanent or not permanent. You see, the idea that the Raivad says is in the Tosafot here also. Tosafot is willing to have it that the Kedushat Haaretz is permanent, and Kedushat Yerushalayim is not permanent. So you have this set of Rishonim who have Yerushalayim. Okay, Kedushat Yerushalayim is either a question or not permanent, but Kedushat Haaretz itself for sure is permanent. Whereas the Rambam has the exact opposite opinion, that Yerushalayim can never be B'Tela, and that for certain is Kadosh. The question is about the Aretz. But the other Aretz is permanent. And then he differentiates between Yoshua and Ezra. You have these differentiate. I just wanted to show you in the Rishonim, these different Stadim in the Rishonim, about what the Kedushat Yerushalayim is, and the connection to Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they're hand in hand. right, which might be the sheet of Rashi here, or maybe they're separated, like Tosfot and the Amam. The question is, which way do you separate that? Do you see Kedushat Aretz is the one that is more permanent? That's the Tosafot, that's the Raivot. Or do you say Kedushat Yerushalayim is the one that's more permanent? And that is the Shita of the Rambam. Yes, on this, now that we know that we're learning out Maser from Bechor, where it says, Amekish Maser the Bechor, Vechid Dabra Lamed Bekesh, Chozer Malamed Bekesh. Right, the only reason that you know Bechor is not in Yerushalayim is because you're Mekish the Bechor to the Bechor Basar of the Bechor to the Dama Bechor, and now you want to make Kish on top of that to Maaser. So Mar says, how could you do that? By Kodshim we have a din that you can't learn a double Hekesh in Kodshim. Mar says, Maser Dagan Chulinu. Maser Dagan, when you're talking about Maser Sheni, Maser Sheni is a din in Chulin. Maser Sheni doesn't have any Kedusha to it, so you're learning out from Chulin. So therefore we're not dealing it by learning out a Hekesh by Kodshim. That goes well according to the one who thinks that when we're looking at whether there's a double hekesh here, we look at what's being learnt. So here, Maaser Sheni is the one that we're learning about. So therefore, that's chulin. We don't worry about it. Aval ela lamando amar bater melamed azlina. That we go after the teaching, the one that is teaching. I mean that we go after the mas, the bechor here that's teaching, and therefore we're talking about a hekesh that deals with kodshim. So, Michael the Meimar, what are you going to say? Now we have a double hekesh, and you can't do that in kodshim. So, when it says dam basar chadamilti, when it comes to dam and basar, they're not two separate items. More mekish dam and basar, that's not really a hekesh. They're one item, meaning that they are considered or classified as one item when it comes to being melameid. The Torah teaches us that basar and dam will have the same din. But that doesn't mean that they're really separate entities or the Hekesh. Just teaches us that the Basar and the Dam, they have one din or the same din, which is they both require a Mizbeach. Okay. But then there's no Hekesh between Basar and Dam. It's just that that is the din of a Bechor. Bechor includes Basar and Dam. If they include Basar and Dam, that's Bechor. If I learn from Bechor to Maser, that's only one Hekesh, not two Hekeshot. Okay. Kodshe Kodoshim. So in our Mishnah, it says that you get Malkot for eating Maser Sheni, Chutz lichumat Yerushalayim, and the Gemara says Tanina Chada Zimno. We already have that in the previous Mishnah. I mean that there are two Mishnayot that we've discussed so far in the Perek. The first Mishnah in the Perek, which is back on Yud Gimel and Aleph, over there, there's a category of that gets Malkot, which is called Maaser Sheni v'Hekdesh Shelo Nifdu. So that's already Malkot for eating Maaser Sheni that were not redeemed, and you're eating outside of Yerushalayim, you get Malkot. But then again, our Mishnah on Yud Zainam and Aleph says that there's another category that gets Malkot. It's Kodshei Kolim u'Maaser Sheni Chutz L'Choma. They're outside the Choma. So Gemara wants to know, why is it that the Mishnah has to discuss Maaser Sheni twice? Once in the Mishnah on Yud Zayin, which is Maaser Sheni Chutz L'Choma, and then there's the Mishnah back at the beginning of the paragraph, Yugim Na'af, which talks about Maaser Sheni V'Ekdei Shalom Nibdu. So why do you need this? That's what Gemara says. Tani Chara Zimno, Maaser Sheni V'Ekdei Shalom Nibdu. Am Rav Yosi B'Rav Yechina Seifa B'Maaser Sheni Tahor. Our Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amar Aleph is talking about Maaser Sheni that's Tahor. The Gavra Tahor, and the individual himself is Tahor. I mean that he's eating Maaser Sheni in a state of being, as well as the Maaser Sheni itself is Tahor. So they're both in a state of being where it can be eaten. And then he ate it, and then he eats it outside the Choma. That's when he gets Malkot. Reisha, the Mishnah, and Yud Gimel, Amid Aleph, that discards Maaser Sheni, that's talking about Maaser Sheni Tameh, the Gavra Tameh. That's talking about either the person is Tameh, or the Maaser Sheni is Tameh. You don't need both, it's O-O. I mean that either one of them, whether it's the person himself is Tameh, or whether the Maaser Sheni is Tameh, and he eats it inside of Yerushalayim, and then you get Malkot. So it's not that he ate it Chutz the Choma, but rather he ate it inside the Choma, but it was a case where it was Maaser Sheni Tameh, or the Gavra was Tameh, and that's why it doesn't say, in our Mishnah, on Yud Zayin says Chutz the Choma, because that's talking about Maaser Sheni Tahor. Maaser Sheni Tameh, or the person is Tameh, if he eats it in Yerushalayim, he's still over alav, and that's what the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Alav is speaking about. That's Maaser Sheni V'Ekdei Shelo Nivdu. Uminale de Mechayev Alei Mishum Tuma. Maravad brings down a breita, basically, now, right, the Sefta, that describes how do we know that by Maaser Sheni Tameh, or by the person being Tameh, that you get Malkot for it. Titania, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Bi'arti Bimenu Bitameh. So this is found in the Parsha of Vidui Maaser. In the Parsha of Vidui Maaser, it says that we make a declaration about the Maaser. It says, Lo Acholti Be'oni Mimeni, Ve'lo Bi'arti Bimenu Bitameh, Ve'lo Nontati Bimenu Lemeit, Shemati Kol Hashem Elokai Asita Kol Asher Tzivitani. So there it says, Lo Bi'arti Bimenu Tameh. I did not consume it when I was Tameh. Ben Shani Tameh Vahu Tahor, doesn't matter whether I was Tameh and the Maaseh Sheni was Tahor, or Ben Shani Tahor, if I was Tahor, Vahu Tameh and the Maaseh Sheni was Tameh. So the Gemara says, Ve'ichan Muzhar al Achila. So where are you warned about Achila? Where is it? How do we know that this is talking about Achila? Any Yodea? I don't know. That Brisa is starting out. Now, the Gemara now interjects, doesn't even let the Brisa or the Tsefta finish, and it interjects right away. It says, Tumah Taguf Behejektiv. First of all, when it comes to Tumah Taguf, if the person's Tameh, that way, the Pasuk says, Nefesh Asher Tig'abo V'tam'a Ad Ha'arev V'lo Yochal Min HaKodashim Kim Rachatz Bissaro B'mayim Uva HaShemesh V'taher V'achar Yochal Min HaKodashim. So you have two stages here in the Pesukim. You have two Pesukim. One stage is that anybody who's Tameh at Arev, he cannot eat from the Kodashim until he goes to the Mikvah. Kiyim Rachaz V'Sar Ramayim. Then there's a second stage, is Uvah Shemesh V'Tayar. Then the sun sets, he's also Tahor, V'achar Yochal Min HaKodashim, and then he can eat from the Kodashim. So what are the Kodashim that are talking about that he can't eat until he goes to the Mikvah? And what are the Kodashim that he can eat after the sun sets? So the Kodashim, or technically Kodashim, that you can eat after you go to the Mikvah, when you have the status of the Tevul Yom, is Maaser. Maaser is allowed to, Maaser Sheni is allowed to be eaten when you are a Tevul Yom. So that's what it means in the Pasuk, when it says, can't eat from the Kodashim, from Maaser Sheni, until you go to the Mikvah. Once you go to the Mikvah, you can eat Maaser Sheni. Then the next Pasuk says, V'ashemesh v'taher, the sun sets and then you're Tahor, that's Herev Shemesh. That you can eat, v'achar yochal min ha-kodashim, those kodashim there is truma. That's when you're allowed to eat from the truma, and also from kodshim, as long as there's not mechusarei kapara. So over there we have a pasuk that specifically states that if you are tamei tumata guf, lo yochal min ha-kodashim, you can't eat from the ma'aser. So if that's the case, what is it? What's the brisa even asking? We know that. Ela tumat atzmo minayin. The question of the brisa must be from tumat atzmo. How do we know when Maaser Sheni is Tameh that you're not permitted to eat from Echtichtiv? Because it says, and now we're going back to the psukim that we discussed today in yesterday's daf, or in 2 days ago's daf as well, which is the psukim about bringing the items up to Yerushalayim, which is Veltuchal lechol bisharecha masar degancha. So there we said that we're talking about Maser Dancha is the Maser Sheni. And further on in Dvarim, it says when it's talking about Bechor Balmum. A Bechor has two possibilities what happens. A Bechor that has to be given to the Kohen. If it's a Tamim, the Kohen has to bring it as a Korban on the Mizbeach and eat it like Kodashim. On the other hand, if the Bechor has a mum in it, has some sort of blemish in it, then it's not ra'ui l'mizbeach, and therefore it goes to the Kohen, and the Kohen can do what he likes with it. But there are certain restrictions about what you may do with it, and it says here, lo ta'avod b'bechor sh'recha v'lo ta'goz. You're not allowed to do avodah and gizah. So those things are restricted in it. But on the other hand, it says in the pasuk, b'sh'recha tochalenu ha'tameh v'tahor yachdav. That in your gates you can eat it, the Tameh and the Tahor together. I mean that there's no restriction against being Tameh or and eating such a Bechor. Now here we're clearly talking about in this pasuk, we're talking about the Tameh v'Tahor Yachdav, we're talking about the people themselves being Tameh or Tahor. And we're trying in our Gemara to prove that we're talking about Tumat of the Maaser Sheni itself. So how do I get that from this pasuk? That's because if the Tameh and the Tahor eat together, meaning if they are both eating it and sharing a common plate, then the Tamei individual, when he touches the Bechor, that piece of meat, or that ex-Kodashim, becomes Tamei. And yet the Tahor is consuming it. So here we have a case of a Tahor consuming something that's Tamei. Not because it was Tamei originally, but because another Tamei is eating with him. And when that Tamei person eats with him and touches the food, it becomes Tamei. And we see that's permissible. So just like by the Bechor Balmum, it says, Bish'arecha tochlenu atamei v'tahor yachdav. That's the word Sh'arecha. Then over here in the Pasuk, when it says, so that maaser, when we're talking about the maaser, bisharecha, so that's the same bisharecha. So also there, you're not allowed to eat something that is bisharecha. Well, what is allowed bisharecha? That is, tamei items are allowed to be eaten bisharecha. But here it says, lo tuchal lechol, you're not allowed to eat these tamei items, and therefore one is precluded from consuming maaser sheni that is tamei. Tanya, debate Rabbi Yishmael afilu tamei b'tahor ochlim b'kara achat v'ein choshishim, they can eat out of one plate and not worry about it. V'kama rachmono, and the Baramana says, heyach tamei, take thee, or this tamei, shori l'cho Over here, Gabe Tohor, Hatam, Hacha lo techol. Over there by the Bechor Balmum that I permitted for you to eat this Tamei item, Hacha, here by Maisu Sheni, lo techol. Don't eat it. Over here, lo techol echol. Don't eat it in this case. So Mara says, Uminole de Barbdiyahu. Then how do you know that it's a redeemable item? Meaning that this Maser Tamei is now not allowed to be consumed in Yerushalayim. Obviously, it cannot be consumed outside of Yerushalayim because it's Maaser Sheni, but even in Yerushalayim, it can't be consumed because it's Tamei. So how do I know that you can actually redeem this item? Damar Rabbi Lazar, Minayin Maaser Sheni Shnitmash Podimoto. How do I know that Maaser Sheni becomes Tamei? It can still be Poder, Afilu B'Yerushalayim, even inside of Yerushalayim, meaning that Maaser Sheni Tahor can only be redeemed outside of Yerushalayim because then you can bring it up to Yerushalayim. On the other hand, if it's outside of Yerushalayim, if it's inside Yerushalayim, you no longer can redeem it. You have to eat it there. But here we're talking about Maaser Sheni Tamei in Yerushalayim. And yet you're allowed to redeem it. Why? Because it says, Tamal Omar, Ki lo tuchal se'eto. So here the Pasuk says about the Maaser Sheni, V'chiber be'a mimcha derech, when it's a long ways to Yerushalayim. Ki lo tuchal se'eto. So the pashto of the Pasuk is that you can't carry it. Sa'a, you can't carry it. You can't transport it. Then, so when the place that Hashem picks or chooses is too far away, then you redeem it on money, you take the money up to Yerushalayim and use it to purchase items in Yerushalayim. Now, the drush on kilo yuchtuchal se'ito, what does it mean, kilo tuchal se'ito? It already tells you, it's too far. Too far means it's too far to carry it. So what is kilo tuchal se'ito? What does that mean? The word seit here doesn't mean to carry or to transport, but rather means achila. And how do I know that? I know that from the Yosef and his brother, Shenemar Vaisam Misa'ot Mas'ot Me'ed Panav. They took portions from in front of him. That Mas'ot over there means portions of food. So those are the portions that are talking about food. And over here also, Kilo Tuchal Seito is you cannot eat it. You cannot consume it. So since you can't consume it, you're allowed to redeem it. So according to Rabbi Lazar, in the pasuk, there are two items. Ki yirbimcha meimcha derech, number one. Or ki tlo tuchal esaton, you're not able to eat it. So either it's too far, or you're not able to eat it, then you're allowed to redeem it. So what's the case where you can't eat it? That's the case where it's maaser sheni tamei inside of Yerushalayim. So Amar Rabbi Amar Rasi, minayin maaser sheni tahor, shepodim davto afilu psia achat chutz lechoma. How do I know that maaser sheni, once it enters into Yerushalayim, can't redeem it. Outside of Yerushalayim, you can redeem it. The pasuk says, "Kir b'mecha maderech." It sounds like you have to be far away. So along comes Rabbi Bermas. He says, "Even if you're one footstep outside of Yerushalayim, you're allowed to redeem it." Where do I know that from? Shenemar ki lo tuchal se'eto. Right, that you're not allowed to. Lo tuchal se'eto. You can't carry it. You're not bringing it in. So now over there, the first part of the pasuk says, "Kir b'mecha maderech." That's when you're far away. Now, the second part is, kilo tuchal seito, you don't want to carry it. You're unable to carry it into Yerushalayim. You don't want to carry it into Yerushalayim. So that's it. Seito over here. That's the second one, which is not too far away, but just that you're not going to carry it. So Mar says, how can you use that, lo tuchal seito, for this? Ami barley, get the Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar. You need it for Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar said before, lo tuchal seito is what teaches you that you're allowed to be podeh, maaser sheni, that's tamei, inside of Yerushalayim. So I'm already using it for that. How can I use it for the limit over here that even a step out of Yerushalayim, you can redeem it? So Gemara says, Imtei Memarka lo tuchalo achlo. You can't eat it. The fact, if it wanted to talk about eating, it should have used the verb achlo, and then I would have known that. My se'eto. So why does it say lo tuchal? This, lo tuchal se'eto. Instead of using the word achila. So that comes to teach you that se'et and not achila. So it says, Vema kulu lahachivut ato. But say that's all it comes to teach you. The fact that it changed from achila to say comes to teach you only when you're outside Yerushalayim can you redeem it, but not inside Yerushalayim when it's tamei. Where it says, Im kein lemerkal utuchal lit lo. Don't take if you can't carry it or you're not planning on carrying it. My se'eto, what's the word se'eto? Use ishma mina atarte. Therefore, they're used, you can learn two limudim out of the pasuk. Meaning that if you wanted to learn just that it can redeem it, then the pasuk just should have said, lo tuchal lo achlo. If you just wanted to learn that you can redeem it outside of Yerushalayim, no matter how close you are to Yerushalayim, as long as you're outside, you can redeem it, then the pasuk could have said, lo tuchal litlo. You can't take it. The fact that the pasuk uses the word se'eto instead of those other two options comes to tell me, I learned both of those items out of the pasuk. The word se'eto means both is that he can't litlo and he can't ochlo. And since it can mean both of those, since it's a word that can be used in both contexts, both as transporting or as eating, therefore it's going to mean both in this instance, which means that if you can't eat it, redeem it. That means Maaser Sheni Tamei in Yerushalayim. If you can't transport it, means if you don't want to transport it, mean anywhere outside of Yerushalayim, redeem it. Yotiv Rabbi Chanina Rav Ashaya, Bekami Bayiluhu, and they were asking this question. It sounds like they were sitting, that the Kirsir seems to mix up. It says, Yotiv Rabbi Chanina Rav Ashaya, probably Apitchad Yerushalayim, and they were asking this question. Pshita, Hu b'chutz, if the individual is outside of Yerushalayim, umasa'o bifnim, and the ma'aser sheni is inside of Yerushalayim, koto michitzot. The walls of Yerushalayim already brought it in, and therefore it's now ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim, and it can no longer be redeemed. Hu bifnim, if the individual is bringing the ma'aser sheni up, is inside Yerushalayim, umasa'o b'chutz, but the ma'aser sheni is on the outside, mahu. What is the din of the ma'aser sheni? And that, is it classified by the individuals bringing it? And since that individual is inside of Yerushalayim, that means that no more Padiya. Or do we go after the Ma'aser Sheni itself? The Ma'aser Sheni itself is now it's actually outside of Yerushalayim. It's inside of Yerushalayim and the Chitzot were not Koltot, then you can still redeem it. Tadalahu, Ahu Sabo, was elderly gentleman, told him over a Breita, but Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, from Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Kir Yechak Mimcha Makom, Mi Miluecha. That when it means ukirachak mimcha makom means not just mimcha. Mimcha means mimiluecha. So what does that mean? Mimcha mimiluecha. So Rashi tells us that mimcha means miluecha means you and your load. Miluecha means anything that you're carrying, anything that's on you. So anything that is on you is just like you. So now Tosfos says over here, and Tosfos in explaining Rashi, because there was a different girsa in the Gemara. There was a girsa in the Gemara there at mimcha gufecha, and that girsa has problems with it because it doesn't read so well into our Gemara. The end, they take Rashi's Girsha, which is Mimcha Mimiluecha, but also explains that even though we write Mimiluecha, it means Migalelanu Dagufe Masoi Bechad. They're considered or classified as one item. Since you and your load are considered to be one entity, it's not that you have Miluecha and you and each one, but what this comes to teach you is that anything that you're transporting, anything that you're carrying on yourself, is just like you. And therefore, since you're inside the wall, and the load is outside the wall, it doesn't matter. Since you are one entity, and you're inside of the wall, mix us, part of it's inside the wall, that's enough to classify it as not being able to be nifdeh anymore. And that would be the answer to our question. Of course, if the Masoi is inside and he's outside, there's nothing to talk about. The Masoi is in Yerushalayim, you can't redeem it anymore. Then when he's inside and the Masoi is at the outside, if you could separate between them, then the Masoi Sheni would still be a Bar Bdia. Along comes this limud from Shema Yechai, comes to teach you that you and your load are a single entity, and then since you're inside, even though the load's outside, that's already considered the lab bar b'diah. You're already inside your shalim, and you can't redeem the ma'aser sheni anymore. What happens if he's carrying it on a stick, as a long stick with the item tied at the end of it? What's the din here? Now, the Gemara leaves this as a teiku, because over here we're unclear. When something, you're carrying something directly on your body, when you're carrying a load on your shoulder, on your head, that is classified miyulecha, that's you and your load are one item. But over here, where it's on a long stick, now do we still say that you're one item or one entity? Or we say now that the stick moves the load away from your body, and therefore you would classify it as two different units. And that obviously will have nafkamino if you're already in the city and the load's outside the city. If we can still consider you one unit, then there's no more pediyah. If we consider you two units, then you in the city and the produce on the outside, the produce is not yet in and therefore can be redeemed. From what point in time are you chayav on ma'aser sheni? So mishira'a pnei ha'chuma. When it sees the wall, once it sees the wall, and we had this at the beginning of the daf, which was that the statement of when they see the face of the house. So by Bikurim, it's the Migdash. And over here, by Ma'aser Sheni, it's the Pnei Chuma, the walls of Yerushalayim. Since Yerushalayim is what's significant to Ma'aser Sheni, therefore the walls are what matter. By Bikurim, it's the Migdash that is the important entity, because you have to bring it and put it, Hanacha, Lifnei Mizbach Hashem. You have to put it, that's part of the process of the Bikurim, and therefore Pnei Abayit, till you enter, go into the Mikdash, that is when it becomes Kadosh. Over here, by Ma'aser Sheni, when you enter through the wall, that's when it becomes Kadosh. It's my time, how do you know this? Because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, Tochlenu, that you have to eat it in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's talking about, again, in the Pasha of Aser Taser, it called Vazar Echa, Yotzei HaSadesh HaNashana, V'achalta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, B'makom Asher Yivchal Shekein Shol Sham. So you have to eat it, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So that's what it teaches you, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha.
or according to the Torah, or this refers to the pasuk in Devarim Perkut Bet, which says in the pasuk Yud Zayin, it says Lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha, which we're about to quote, and then pasuk Yud Chet, it says Ki im lifnei Hashem lekecha tochlenu, that you can't eat it, and then yes, you can eat it. Ki im lifnei Hashem lekecha tochlenu, you must eat it lifnei Hashem lekecha. The reason, obviously, to use that pasuk is we're about to use this juxtaposition between the two in order to teach us the din. Although the din could be learned out from the separate parashio, because the word maaser is mentioned in both of them. Nevertheless, the Torah feels that the better pasuk to choose is the one from Devarim Perkut Bet, a pasuk Yud Chet. Uktiv.
Lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha. Kohecha dekrinin be'lifnei Hashem lekecha tochlenu. Any place that is lifnei Hashem lekecha, that's where you're allowed to eat it. Right? Then krinin be'lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha. So as long as there is lifnei Hashem lekecha, then you're no longer allowed to eat it. Kohecha delo krinin be'lifnei Hashem lekecha. But if the maaser sheni has never been lifnei Hashem lekecha, Then the restriction of lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha does not come into effect. So the lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha is dependent on whether it's tochleno, where there is a point that you can eat it. When's the point that you can eat it? The point that you can eat it is once it's come opening a choma, once they've come into the walls of Yerushalayim. Since that's where it becomes permissible to eat, that's where the restriction of lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha comes into effect. So this has a different gear. So in the Gemara, which is Mishara Pnei Abayit, just like we had by the case of Bikurim, Mishara Pnei Abayit, over here too, he has a girsa by the Chomo, by Maaser Sheni, that's also Mishara Pnei Abayit. That's very interesting because that seems to me that they're equating Yerushalayim and the Mikdash. The Rambam in Perusha Mishnayot does a similar thing, which is that he says by the case of Rosh Hashanah, where you allow it to blow shofar b'Mikdash, he says Mikdash means all of Yerushalayim. And then we also saw earlier in today's daf, when we're talking about Kedushat HaMikdash, we're also talking about Kedushat Yerushalayim. And when we say Kitcher Bishon, Kitcher Latid Lavo, that's not only speaking about the bayit itself, but speaking about Yerushalayim as a whole. So it might be that when we're saying over here, Mishra Pnei Abayit, that coming into Yerushalayim is Mishra Pnei Abayit, because Yerushalayim and the Mikdash are classified in some sense as one entity. Now, Tosa says, wait a minute, if that's the case, why do I have to redeem Maaser Sheni? Meaning that there's no restriction against eating Maaser Sheni until it comes, according to Rabbi Yochanan, until it comes into Yerushalayim, there's no restriction against eating Maaser Sheni. So Tosa says, you're right, there is no lav, there's no lota say of eating Maaser Sheni chutz Yerushalayim until it's come into Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, there is a mitzvah saseh that you will violate because you're supposed to eat it up in Yerushalayim. And then if you don't do that, you're mevatel the aseh when you eat it outside of Yerushalayim. So in Ochanayim, there is no lav because the lav only goes into effect once it's seen the Pnei HaChomar or the Pnei HaBayit. Nevertheless, there's still an aseh that you would violate or you would give up by eating it outside of Yerushalayim. Okay, we'll stop over here.